1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump, with Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. behind him, says the drug acetaminophen can be associated with an increased risk of autism. His message to pregnant women?
For some reason, with this, they keep taking it. Don't take Tylenol.
CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook points out
it can be dangerous for a pregnant woman to have fever and pain. Not only dangerous for her, but dangerous for the developing fetus. And that's why Tylenol, acetaminophen, has been used for decades. In terms of alternatives during pregnancy, there really is no good alternative for pain and fever, because things like aspirin and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, they can have very serious side effects. And that's why the recommendation has been from societies, and also you heard it today, to use the smallest possible dose for the smallest number of days possible.
In a statement to CBS News, Kenvue, the maker of Tylenol, says independent sound science clearly shows that taking acetaminophen does not cause autism. Late night TV host Jimmy Kimmel is returning to a show tomorrow night after ABC does an about face on its indefinite suspension after Kimmel's comments about the shooting death of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti in Los Angeles on what ABC owner Disney had to say.
They say, quote, "We made the decision to suspend production on the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment for our country." They go on to say it was a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and thus insensitive. We have spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after those conversations, we reached a decision to return the show on Tuesday.
TV owner Sinclair says it will replace Jimmy Kimmel Live across its ABC affiliate stations with news programming. West Point law professor Tim Bakken is suing the school and its leaders, claiming denial of free speech. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
It looks like in response to executive orders and other statements by the administration, the military academy is withdrawing books, telling professors what they can say and do, what they can publish, and even what opinions they can express in the classroom.
The mother of the man killed in a shooting at a country club in Nashua, New Hampshire, Saturday night, says her 59-year-old son stood up to protect his family from the alleged shooter. 23-year-old former employee Hunter Nadeau is charged with one count of second-degree murder. CBS News Boston's Paul Burton.
What is not clear at this time is the motive. Right now, we don't know why he did this. He is being held without bail. He is due back in court on October 1st for a probable cause hearing.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Packers losing Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge upset. The Packers losing to the Browns, 13-10. The turning point, Jordan Love throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter, allowing the Browns to tie up the game.
No, we're running a triple slant concept, and they're in man coverage. And, you know, I'm trying to work Wicks right there, number two. You know, the safety that was guarding Tucker, you know, fell off that, passed it off, and got in the window right there, and I didn't even see him.
Up next, they face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Wisconsin lost 27-10 to Maryland. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell reacts to fans in the stands chanting "Fire Fickell."
They're passionate about what they do and what they want to see, and that's what you love about this place.
The Brewers play the Padres tonight in San Diego. They clinched the divisional title again, but had to place Brandon Woodruff on the 15-day IL with a lat strain.
Played catch on Friday. Felt like it was normal stuff. Yesterday tried to throw a pen and something felt a little different.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 50s with patchy fog. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow morning, some sun in the afternoon, a high in the upper 60s. Staying dry through the week as temperatures stay in the 70s. Currently it's 66.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, unfortunately, more PFAS are showing up in Wisconsin's duck population. David Drake will be here to break that down and what that means. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Say, we got a jam-packed show here. We got our friend Dr. Nicole Martin Rogers, and I just have to say a quick thing before we get her on here is that we were on the St. Paul Public Schools parent committee together, and she was a rock star there, and we followed each other's lead, and we went non-concurrent one year and really got the attention to St. Paul Public Schools, and so it's always great to have Nicole on, and later on we're going to have Bob Blake from Red Lake on. I always like to say that, and we'll be talking about the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and of course probably ending the show with the Solar Bear with the Vikings news, because we know Vikings and Packers our jam here on Native Roots Radio, seeing that we're on Civic Media all over Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan, along with Minnesota. So that'll be fun. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Jimmy Kimmel and the fans. Jimmy Kimmel's going to be on again. And I just have to say, when it comes to, protesting and doing the right thing and taking your money out and unsubscribing to, different formats, really made a difference. And there was almost $4 billion of accounts that were terminated on the Disney channels and whatnot, and Hulu. And so congratulations to everybody out there who did that. I just got to use my applause button here that I always like to use. Right on. Hey, so we want to get right to it right now. There's a lot of really great information going on, and Nicole Martin Rogers has a PhD and MPP, and she's a research scientist for the Wilder Foundation, and it's really awesome to see you, Nicole. Have always good feelings when I see you or see your name anywhere, and there's a really important report that's come up, and let's talk about the Wilder Research that released two reports about homeless among Native Americans in Minnesota. And this is a huge deal. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so what's the big deal about this topic? I know you and I know what the big deal is. Our listening audience all over Turtle Island here should be reminded. And let's talk a little bit about what's the big deal.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on to talk about this topic. We are very interested in talking with you about this topic because we know that Native Americans are really overrepresented among people experiencing homelessness in Minnesota. Native American adults make up just 2% of the adult population in Minnesota, but they represent 30% of adults who are experiencing homelessness. And you might have seen some recent news stories. There's significant local concern, both among the Native community and the broader community, about the health and safety issues that are coming up, especially in homeless encampments, mostly in Minneapolis. So I think it's really important that everyone in the community kind of knows about this topic and understands the data behind it and understands what some of the causes and potential solutions are.
Well, you know, those numbers pop out right away. We're just 2% of the population, but we have 30% of the adults experiencing unsheltered living. We witness that. And so this is a big conversation to have. And, I want you to tell us a bit about the research you did and to gather this information, meaning Wilder and you being a research scientist.
Thanks. Yeah, I should say I'm also a White Earth Nation descendant.
Right.
And I've worked at Wilder Research, which is a nonprofit organization based in St. Paul for about 25 years. And Wilder Research has actually been conducting the Minnesota Homeless Study since 1991. We conduct this study every 3 years in partnership with government agencies and tribes and service providers, advocates and volunteers. The most recent study took place in October of 2023. We complete one-on-one interviews with people who are experiencing homelessness throughout the state, and we really try to interview everybody or nearly everybody who's experiencing homelessness on that one day of the study. The interviews happen across 300 or more different sites around the state, and we really couldn't do this study or this work without the contributions of the nearly 1,000 volunteer interviewers and staff from the homeless service organizations that help us collect the data. So last week, we released two reports from Wilder Research. The first one is a Native American homelessness issue brief. And this report focuses, again, on the overrepresentation of Native Americans among people experiencing homelessness in Minnesota. This study excludes reservations. We do talk about the characteristics and needs of the population and the individual and systemic causes of homelessness among Native Americans. We also try to look at some of the possible solutions. And I really want to take a minute to thank our partners from the Metro Urban Indian Directors, St. Paul Indians in Action, the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, and their Urban Advisory Board. These important community leaders and providers in the community provided feedback and helped support us to get this report released. And then the second report that we
Dr. Nicole, let me just ask a quick question before you move on. So are we speaking directly to just the Twin Cities area, or is there homeless in Bemidji or, other parts?
Right. Actually, I was in Bemidji doing surveys for a couple of days. This is a statewide study. So we go all around the state to Bemidji, Duluth, Mankato, Rochester, rural areas, as well as many, many of the sites in the Twin Cities.
Thank you. Go ahead with your.
Mm-hmm. That's the first report that's about Native American homelessness statewide. And then the second report that we released last week is the Reservation Homeless Study. So since 2006, Wilder Research has partnered with tribal nations in Minnesota to conduct a reservation homeless study, basically at the same time as we do the statewide study every 3 years. And there's a couple key differences about the reservation study. The first difference is that we co-lead this study. You know, the design, the data gathering, the analysis and reporting is all done in partnership with the Minnesota Tribal Collaborative to End Homelessness. And this collaborative is a partnership of Minnesota tribes who are all working on their own plans to prevent and end long-term homelessness. And they collaborate on data and funding and policy issues. And we're really grateful for their leadership and collaboration on this project. And then the second difference that I should just tell you about quickly is that the statewide study only includes people who are literally homeless, according to the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development definition. And in the reservation study, we also include people who, as well as folks who meet the literal definition of homelessness, we include folks who are precariously housed and doubled up. We know that the picture of homelessness looks a little bit different on reservations, which is why we include those folks.
Wow, that's amazing. And the numbers again, on the res, we have 30% or versus 51%. Is that what I'm hearing?
On the reservation there, I think the data point that you're looking at there is related to subsidized housing. Okay. So we saw that reservation respondents were less likely to be on a waiting list for subsidized housing compared to people who are experiencing homelessness in greater Minnesota. That indicates that there's probably less supply or less available subsidized housing on reservations.
Wow. Okay. Well, shoot. We're going to take a quick break here. We got about 30 seconds before we take a break. I'm here with Dr. Nicole Martin Rogers, and we're talking about two important reports that have just come out in the last couple of weeks from the Wilder Foundation, which does great work and research. And, and Dr. Nicole Martin Rogers, I know, is super smart. So this is just an awesome conversation we're having here, and we're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, we are here with Dr. Nicole Martin Rogers with the Wilder Foundation, a research scientist talking about these last two huge research that the Wilder's done. And Dr. Nicole, do you mind picking up where you were? Because I really... this is just amazing statistics, and maybe we can talk a little bit, too, about where we're heading and figuring out how to help our unsheltered relatives.
Sure. I'd be happy to share a little bit of some of the most interesting findings that I think might help us understand sort of what we need to be focusing on with this issue.
Perfect.
One of the things that really surprised my colleagues and me is the alarming number of Native American adults who are experiencing homelessness who are actually sleeping outside. Mm. So over half, at least 54% of the Natives who we interviewed in our study spent at least one night outside during the previous month. That's compared to just 35% of non-Native adults. And that means, you know, if someone's unsheltered, it means they're actually literally sleeping outside in a car, a vacant building. They do not have an indoor place to stay. We know that lack of affordable housing is a huge barrier facing everyone in the community, not just Natives. But we found major gaps between how much people report that they can afford for rent. In the Twin Cities, Native people experiencing homelessness said they could afford about $61 for rent based on their current income, whereas the current median monthly rent in the Twin Cities is $1,115. So, right, the chances of someone who can only afford $61 being able to get a place is really hard for folks. And then I guess the last thing that I wanted to mention in terms of really surprising findings is that substance use is really and mental health are really complicating the experience of being homeless, in particular for Native Americans. So 4 out of 10 Native Americans experiencing homelessness have a substance use disorder. In our study, Native Americans were about 3 times more likely to have used methamphetamines, 5 times more likely to have used fentanyl, and 4.5 times more likely to have used heroin compared with non-Native adults who are experiencing homelessness. And actually, 17% of the Native Americans who we interviewed who are experiencing homelessness reported overdosing at least once in the past year. That rate is 3 times higher than non-Natives.
Wow.
I think one of the things, like a stereotype about Native American homelessness, is almost that, like, that's what causes the homelessness. But we really want to point out that substance use is also a symptom of hardship and trauma. It can be intertwined with childhood trauma and other factors. We also found that Native American adults who are experiencing homelessness are far more likely to have mental health conditions like anxiety, depression, PTSD, and bipolar when compared with non-Native adults experiencing homelessness. So both of these things, right, untreated substance use and untreated mental health disorders, can make it more difficult for someone to access shelter and to maintain stable housing. So we really need culturally appropriate and trauma-informed supports for Native Americans, especially those who are in active addiction and those who are experiencing mental health issues.
You know, my experience too, like with the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and I believe that's been 6 years ago, which really blows my mind, is that a lot of people didn't want to go into the shelter or relatives because of two things. One, they wanted to continue use, and two, they didn't want their things stolen. And so those are like really big issues. And I know some of the things have changed where they're working on, and some homelessness organizations that you can use or that you can lock your things up. So have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an issue. I actually led the data collection at the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and certainly those barriers that you mentioned about people who, you know, can't get into shelter because they're actively using, and some shelters require people to be sober to come in. A lot of shelters require that people line up at the door, and if you're in at 6 p.m., you have to stay in for the rest of the night or you lose your spot. There are some alternative shelters like the Vivo Tiny Home Village and other places where they have a little bit more of a harm reduction approach, and where people can come and go as they please. And like you said, kind of lock up their stuff and other things that folks are worried about. But there's certainly not enough shelter options like that available for people who need it.
You know, some of the issues that I see just as a novice here living in St. Paul and visiting and seeing what's going on, is that it's kind of the pointing fingers thing. It's we have the city thinks the county should be doing something, the county thinks the state should be doing something, and then nothing gets done. We have a lot of great organizations, boots on the ground, trying to help, but this is definitely, by your numbers, this is an epidemic.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that we really try to lead with in this study is for homelessness on reservations in particular, tribal nations are sovereign nations. They have the right and responsibility to determine how their people are served and how to end homelessness in their communities. So the role of state and local officials and funders should be to support tribal nations and to support the Minnesota Tribal Collaborative to end homelessness. And they should be leading any response, and they have been leading response to end homelessness on reservations over the past several years. Mm-hmm. Native American homelessness in the rest of Minnesota, as you said, requires a multi-jurisdictional response. There is a role and a need for the state, local jurisdictions, funders, service providers, community leaders, and tribes to all work together on a coordinated response. We have to really consider the holistic needs of folks. You know, again, a lot of folks have childhood trauma, like ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. A lot of folks have substance use and mental health issues and have had bad experiences with service providers in the past. So we really need to make sure that we have trauma-informed and culturally responsive solutions for Native people who are homeless, again, including access to substance abuse and mental health services. You know, this is a systemic problem, right? Mm-hmm. There's historic and systemic causes for this. You know, a lot of the dominant mindset is to kind of blame individuals, like they're just lazy, they're just drug addicts, that's why they're homeless, they just didn't get proper home training or whatever it might be. But really, there's a lot of historic factors. You know, this audience, I'm sure, knows a lot about the things I would talk about, like colonization, loss of culture, genocide, boarding schools, removal. There was a federal government act to relocate natives from reservations to urban areas in 1950s. All this contributed on a systemic level to the disproportionate rate of homelessness among American Indians. So that kind of means we need to have a disproportionate response or solution to it, right? All hands on deck, significant resources need to be devoted because this is a problem that has built up over generations and years and was really intentional on the part of the federal government to some degree to get this to where it is right now, to get this problem where it is right now.
Well, I'm going to ask you before the segment's over what a call to action, but one of the things I wanted to ask you is who's reading this report and who should read the report? So those are almost two different people, I think.
Right. Well, anybody can read the report. So they're public reports. They're available on our website at mnhomeless.org. So anyone who's interested in the issue can read it. We have distributed the report to, you know, local media, both mainstream and Native focused media. So hopefully the Native community and the general public will have their awareness raised a little bit through that. Really, you know, policymakers and folks who work for state, the funders, local, you know, Hennepin County in particular. I don't think that I mentioned that for among all the Native Americans who are homeless that we surveyed who are not on a reservation, nearly half, 40% of those are in Hennepin County. So any solution that we're talking about in Minnesota also has to be focused on Hennepin County because that's nearly half of the right. people that are experiencing homelessness. So,
I think the big ask, Dr. Nicole Martin Rogers, is to talk to our local politicians and make sure they're reading this report and understanding this report and reaching out to Wilder if they can't decipher what's in this report. Is that a good call to action?
That's right. Yep. People can read the report, look at areas that are interested. If you're someone who works in the field of counseling, maybe you're more interested in the mental health stuff. If you work with youth, we have a section about youth. So, you know, you can kind of lean into the data that's of most interest. Definitely talk to community leaders and service providers. Again, you know, Metro Urban Indian Directors, SIA, MIAC, all these groups have taken a lead and have been focusing on this issue. So engaging with them. You know, the Native way, I think, is to really build relationships and identify common interests and goals and work from there. So hopefully people can, you know, see there's a need. You can volunteer with that service providers in the community. There are providers that take volunteers to help cook a meal for people at the end of the night or help folks with other things that they might need. And then, of course, the next time that we'll be doing this stuff. So if you're interested in volunteering to do data gathering for the next statewide or reservation homeless survey, you can reach out to us on that. It's a life-changing experience. So,
Well, Dr. Nicole Martin Rogers, thank you so much for coming on. This we got to have you on in a couple.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. President Trump suggests the link between the use of acetaminophen in pregnancy and autism. Dr. Steven Fleischman, president of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, responds.
The idea that we're going to let someone with a fever tough it out may have much worse implications for a pregnant woman than taking a dose of acetaminophen to bring that fever down.
Jimmy Kimmel Live returns to the air tomorrow night after controversial comments about Charlie Kirk's murder. CBS's Matt Piper with ABC owner Disney's statement.
We have spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after those conversations, we reached the decision to return the show on Tuesday.
Hurricane Gabrielle is now a Category 4 storm moving through the Central Atlantic. Direct impacts to the U.S. and Bermuda not expected. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
The good news is there's absolutely no impacts to land from this storm. It is off of Bermuda. It will continue to stay out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
The Packers losing Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge upset. The Packers losing to the Browns, 13-10. The turning point, Jordan Love throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter, allowing the Browns to tie up the game.
No, we're running a triple slant concept, and they're in man coverage. And, you know, I'm trying to work Wicks right there, number two. You know, the safety that was guarding Tucker, you know, fell off that, passed it off, and got in the window right there, and I didn't even see him.
Up next, they face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Wisconsin lost 27-10 to Maryland. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell reacts to fans in the stands chanting "Fire Fickell."
They're passionate about what they do and what they want to see, and that's what you love about this place.
The Brewers play the Padres tonight in San Diego. They clinched the divisional title again, but had to place Brandon Woodruff on the 15-day IL with a lat strain.
Played catch on Friday. Felt like it was normal stuff. Yesterday tried to throw a pin and something felt a little different.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. With all the negativity and polarization in the news lately, it appears that TV viewers just want to watch people dance. Dancing with the Stars premiered last Tuesday night and pulled big numbers with almost 6 million viewers. That's a big improvement over last season. There was also a big uptick in the votes cast by viewers, with 21 million total for an increase of 163%. The real reason for the rise in viewership, according to critics, is star power. If you're still watching Disney, check it out on Tuesday nights. Speaking of Disney, if you're upset about Jimmy Kimmel Live being suspended by Disney and ABC, check out Last Week Tonight on HBO. It is an absolutely brilliant show, both funny and informative. Fresh off his Emmy win for Outstanding Scripted Variety Series and Outstanding Writing for a Variety Series, John Oliver went after Nexstar and Sinclair for cozying up to the FCC. During the episode, Oliver, self-deprecating as always, said he fully expects to be deported back to the UK. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy tonight. A low in the upper 50s with patchy fog. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow morning, some sun in the afternoon. A high in the upper 60s. Staying dry through the week as temperatures stay in the 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at SavedByTheScan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
T. Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Dr. Kristen Lierley, who joins me in studio. Then Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin talks about fall events. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives. Welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio. Hey, we have our friend Bob Blake with Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. Ho-wa. And we got a lot to talk about here. First, Bob, if you don't mind, I want to just switch gears just for a second and talk a little bit. I know you were stuck in traffic, but Jimmy Kimmel is going to be on tomorrow night, and talking about talking with your money, getting rid of subscriptions and things like that really worked, and over 400 stars signed a support for him, and people that work for Disney. And so, you know, it does work to push back. And so I'm happy that, you know, at least at this point right now, that we have freedom of speech, at least for a little bit. Welcome, Bob.
So, I did not hear about this yet, Robert.
Great.
And so this means then I can get back my Disney subscription, because I canceled it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was one of the people that canceled the subscription.
And $4 billion. $4 billion, Bob.
And then I found out that Netflix is like working with like Stephen Colbert and Rachel Maddow. Someone told me that they're working together for a show. So I was like going to up my subscription. I already have the subscription, but I was going to do like the more expensive one, you know?
Oh yeah, that's right. Cool. Well, it's good news, and it shows that protesting does work.
Right, Robert. And I think what, you know, it really does is that, like, when we make the, you know, making decisions with our pocketbook really does matter. And unfortunately, you know, that's the society that we live in. And that's the model. Capitalism is the model that we have. And, you know, so when you vote with your pocketbook and you make choices, like it or not, you know, that really does affect what happens out here. So,
well, Bob, it was almost $4 billion in subscriptions were canceled.
Wow.
Yeah.
$4 billion in subscriptions. That is that is something I think I paid like $16.99 or something.
You're in that.
it wasn't cheap. I mean, it's you know, 20 bucks a month, you know, just to watch The Empire Strikes Back once a month. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I feel like that's all I did, Robert, was watch The Empire Strike, because I'm always so busy. I felt like I was just watching The Empire Strikes Back like one time a month. I mean, honestly. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom like once a month. Really, that's what it came down to.
Jeez.
But, I mean, but Robert, it really does go to show, though, that that we do have the power. People, your vote does matter. And that's why in this next election, we really got to make our, you know, politicians hear our voice.
Yeah, definitely. And you and I have been talking about this for almost 9 years here on Native Roots Radio, a couple different presidencies and a lot of different legislators coming in and out, that, you know, we are also not only paying with subscriptions, but with our vote, for sure.
Yeah. And Robert, and I, you know, this isn't the time to lay over. This isn't the time to give up. This is the time that we have to fight back, and we have to do it peacefully. Mm-hmm. Violence is never the answer. And nor is hatred rhetoric. You know, spreading is not the answer. I always go back to that John Trudell saying, we have to beat them with our minds.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, we miss John Trudell, and I still listen to a lot of his speeches when I go on a long ride, because it's still what, you know, when he was talking about no nukes and things like that still apply today with pipelines and just beating down our relatives.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Robert, because that's a perfect segue into the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
Right.
And one of the, you know, what's happening, Robert, right now is there's an article out right now from a Sierra Club report that they did, and they're finding that utilities across the country are stepping back from their climate plans and their climate goals. One of the main reasons is because of the amount of data centers that are being scheduled to be built and come online. So how are they going to manage the power that these data centers are going to need? I've seen reports where almost like with all the renewable energy that we're putting online, we'll just go straight to data centers. So you know,
and they use water too, don't they, Bob? I mean, to keep them cool.
Yes, that's exactly right. The water cools the data center, so, and then that recycles, and then it goes back out. But like, we have to think about like, how is our drinking water, and you know, the energy that we're trying to fight climate change with. We're supposed to be fighting climate change with all this renewable energy, not supporting these data centers. Like, how is that going to work? So, you know, this is something that, you know, obviously has to be talked about. And then with this administration rolling back its, you know, renewable energy plan, this is a really kind of a bad timing for this. So with all this happening, the utilities are thinking about how they walk back on their climate goals. Robert, we have one of the biggest typhoons right now, hurricanes, in heading towards the Philippine Islands right now.
And it is the
strongest storm ever recorded on the planet.
Jeez. We just had an earthquake too this morning.
This is going to be, you know, par for the future. You know, you go out and play golf, you know, like five par, you know, this is going to be par for the course for the future, everyone. So I think we're really going to have to rethink and say to ourselves, what's going to be more important, our iPads or, you know, a planet to live on? So, you know, can we have both? I don't know, you know, but we can't be rolling back protections for the planet, for the environment. And at the same time, we've got to continue to make investments in renewable energy. And so these are some quadrums that we're going to have to face. And I don't know if this is the administration that can quite handle it.
Well, and the sad thing is, all over the world, they are trying to handle that. Like, didn't you report a couple weeks ago that China has like a ton of renewables and they're going full force and full blast on it because they see climate change and things like that happening?
Yeah, there's projections out there that solar is just gonna jump exponential over the next 10 years. You've heard it right here on Native Roots Radio Network. Solar Bear, the Solar News, has been talking about this for a long time, and the projections are off the charts. So with that being said, the rest of the world is moving forward. You know, here in this country, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? So another story, geothermal, Robert, coming out of northeastern Iowa, Western Union, they're putting in a geothermal network in their entire city. So kind of something similar to downtown St. Paul. As a matter of fact, St. Paul is like one of the places where everybody from around the country comes and looks at this geothermal network that the city of St. Paul has to study it. So they're going to do that down in Iowa. And I think that's really great because I think we need to have more and more of these other renewable, stuff being put together. Right.
Yeah, Bob, is that the big? I see steam coming out of there during the summer. Is that what you're talking about? It's just a huge thing right off the. I did not know that that was a geothermal thing.
Yep, that's a geothermal network that's in downtown St. Paul, and that is studied by folks from around the country. They come here to St. Paul to study that and implement those into their own communities, just like this one happening in northeastern Iowa. So really cool. Electric vehicles. So there are electric tractors for small farmers coming out, Robert.
Well, that's good.
Tractors are going electric. The
applause button for that.
Michigan State University is doing a lot of research around this and have been working with tractor manufacturers, and these tractors will be eventually being deployed into farms. So really exciting news there for farmers, because you know those guys will be heavily impacted by climate change, and there already are, but you know, they're looking at every which way to be able to protect their crops, protect their community, and also save money. So I think this is wonderful news.
Wow, that is good news.
And then Columbus, Ohio, this is great news too, Robert. Columbus, Ohio has set climate targets that include carbon neutrality by 2050. So reliance, it's usage on renewable energy. Columbus, Ohio is continually moving forward with their climate goals, irregardless of what's coming out of Washington, D.C. Do you hear that, everybody? Columbus, Ohio, right, is continuing moving forward with their climate goals in spite of everything that's happening out of Washington, D.C. So if they can do it, everyone listening, we can do it too.
Yep, definitely. Hey, Bob, we're going to take a break here in a second here, but I just want to, before we get into the real news next segment, where are you speaking next? Because every time I reach out to you, you're somewhere speaking.
I'll be at the Tribal Climate Camp in White Earth, Minnesota tomorrow, speaking at the Tribal Climate Conference.
Wow, that's very cool. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next, Solar Bear with the sports news. That's what I've been waiting for all day. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. This is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, that was good to have her, Jane Fonda, as a bumper, because you remember she was married to Ted Turner, who owned the Atlanta Braves. Oh, hey, this is this is Solar Bear with the sports talk here, and we're going to talk a little Vikings sports and of course the Packers too, because we're all over civic media and we don't want to leave them out. Is this the Max Rosmer era coming up here? That's awesome that we got this young gopher that got to throw a couple passes and then this big blowout here.
Yeah, I thought that was wonderful, Robert. The fourth quarter, he came in, he replaced Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, you know, Robert, is from North Dakota. Yeah. He grew up a Minnesota Vikings fan.
I saw a picture of him in the old dome with the jersey on, giving a thumbs up. He was at a Vikings game.
Yep, he was a big Minnesota Vikings fan growing up, coming out of North Dakota. Went on to play a ball at NDSU and set multiple records up there as a quarterback, playing for the Bison. But terrific opening game. He had some mistakes, but I think as he gets more comfortable with the offense and starts gelling with it, I think that he's going to come into his own. Now, he did play for a Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, Robert.
He got hurt. Yeah,
he got hurt. He brought him all the way to the championship and then got hurt. Yeah. So, he knows what it's about. He's been in the league for a while, so he knows what to expect. He understands the speed of the game, and I think that he's going to settle in just fine. I think the real story, though, out of this Sunday is Isaiah Rodgers, the cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings. This guy returned an interception, a fumble for a touchdown, both touchdowns, and then got right after that, got another fumble. I think it's safe to say he's a lock for Defensive Player of the Week.
He was a lock after the first quarter. How quickly the world turns, though, because I was really bummed out. The Packers looked like they were ready to take over, though. I mean, they look strong offensively, defensively. And then Cleveland, who has a really strong defense, really put it to them this week.
Oh, yeah. So that game right there, I mean, and, you know, obviously there was a kick right at the end that won the game. Those are the breaks in the NFL. That's what they say, Robert. Any given Sunday, any NFL team can be beat. And that's exactly what happened here to the Pack against the Browns. But to be quite honest with you, I thought the Pack had that game. I also did.
Yeah, well, you know, we're both 2-1, which is really interesting. If you would have said something last week before this big blowout, the 48-10 victory by the Vikings, I would have been really said, well, we're lucky to win this game, and we're going to be 1-2, and the Packers are going to be 3-0, and it's just the opposite. We're in the game again. We're excited, and I got to hit the applause button again.
Yeah. And Robert, let's not forget the Milwaukee Brewers. Clinched their division. They have the best record in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
I don't know, Robert. Wisconsin, you might have a World Series championship coming your way, because they look very, very tough right now to beat.
It'd be great. When they clinched the division, Bob, the manager read a letter, and it was really an emotional letter, and it was written by Bob Uecker before he passed away about how...
Come on, Robert. One of the greatest baseball announcers to ever play the game. Those commercials he did for Miller Lite...
Must be in the front row.
Yeah, for Miller, because he's in Milwaukee. A classic. Just a great guy, and everything that he did for the game in and outside. I heard he was really great with the community, Robert. I heard like he always did really cool stuff for the community. So just a wonderful guy, and I hope that they win this championship for the Uke, because You know, he's just fabulous. But they got to go through the Los Angeles Dodgers, Robert. That's going to be a tough one with Ohtani out there. Is a heck of a ball player.
Just walk him.
Robert, just to mention, I think you just let us know that the Vikings are going to Dublin. It's going to be an early game this Sunday. I think 8 a.m. Start time. So just to let everybody know that. And then the Minnesota Lynx.
Oh, my goodness.
They took game one against the Mercury. So they were cruising all the way. And Nafisia Collier and the rest of that team are playing great basketball. Robert, I just don't know if they can be beat this year. I don't think the Liberty, the New York Liberty, or the rest of it can pull anything on them this year. They just look that tough, Robert.
Aren't the Liberty out of it? Didn't Indiana knock them off? Which bizarre because Indiana didn't have Caitlin Clark and they just had an all around good team. They had a couple people that lost that went out to injury and I think they were playing the Liberty. I'm not 100% sure, but I think they got knocked off by Indiana.
Yeah, I got to check on all that. I got really caught up with the Vikings this last week.
That's okay.
But I'm telling you, they look tough, and I just don't know if they can be beat, Robert. I think the Lynx have it this year, and I don't want to jinx them.
Right.
They look really tough. They got a good squad. I mean, I want to that one. She won Defensive Player of the Year, Co-Defensive Player of the Year from the Lynx.
Yeah.
They have such a strong team, Robert. I think they're going to go all the way though, but I don't want to jinx them.
You know, I enjoy women's professional basketball better than men's. And, I mean, I watch the men's in the playoffs, but as the season goes on, I don't know. It's just more purer of a game watching the women play.
Yeah. It's exciting. I love watching the women play. I think it's a lot of fun, actually.
Well, I'm waiting for an invite to your suite when you go to the WNBA game. Still waiting for that invite. Hoo-wah.
Also, too, Robert, the Lions and Ravens are playing Monday Night Football tonight.
Oh.
Some people are saying this might be a pre for the Super Bowl. I don't know about that. I think there are a lot of NFL teams that will disagree, including the Minnesota Vikings here. But the Lions and Ravens are going to be one heck of a game. And this is a back-to-back weeks that the Ravens are playing some difficult teams like the Buffalo Bills they played last week. This week they're playing the Detroit Lions. I mean,
what's their record now? Didn't they lose a couple already? Or
yes, they did. But they barely lost, Robert. I mean, their team is the Baltimore Ravens are incredible. And the Lions beat the Chicago Bears last week. Chicago Bears looked really great this week. The Chicago Bears looked great this week, Robert. They really, really had a great game. So I don't know, Robert. Wait. The NFC North is the black and blue division, and they are going to be beating up each other this year once again. Everybody, you are going to love this season. I guarantee it.
Well, hey, this is Bob Blake and Solar Bear with the sports news here. Hey, who did the Bears play?
The Bears played this week. Who was that?
I thought it was the Cowboys.
Yeah, they beat the Cowboys. Yep.
I just wanted to hear you say that.
The Bears did beat the Cowboys. Yeah. And did you see that gruesome, I don't know if he broke his knee or what, CeeDee Lamb? But did you see that twist of his ankle? Oh, boy. Ew, it was ugly. Man, there's a lot of injuries happening right now in the NFL right now, Robert.
Do you remember Joe Theismann on Monday Night Football years ago when he broke his ankle? Kept showing that over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it kind of looked, Robert, this last week, CeeDee Lamb. It was gruesome.
Well, I can't wait for your next update next week. Thanks for the Solar News and also Solar Sports News, Solar Bear with the Solar News. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you. Miigwech. Bye.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, Jimmy Kimmel's back on the air. We'll explain what it means for free speech here in Wisconsin. And Badger football head coach Luke Fickell under fire. We'll discuss your chance to win green and gold tickets in Green Bay continues.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.